Joining us now to talk a little bit more about the Raptors and what's going on in the NBA as a whole, Vivek Jacob joins us here on The Playbook. Good morning and good afternoon to you, Vivek. Happy Friday.
Happy Friday to you. Thanks for having me on.
Oh, always appreciate getting you on here, and I know it's the first time for you on this show, so we're excited to get your insight into all this. So we'll start with the Jeremy Lin situation in Toronto, simply because it's kind of the big story this side of the border for Raptors fans here in this market. Jeremy Lin, Linsanity. What do you think this does for the Raptors now as they get into the postseason? He's not essentially a starter, but they needed to shore up a little bit of depth from that Marc Gasol trade, right?
Absolutely. You look at the trade, it wasn't just about Jonas Valanciunas. It's about losing that, losing DeLon Wright. And now you get a guy like Jeremy Lin that isn't afraid of the big moment. He's proven that over the course of his career. So you can expect him to play playoff without any kind of intimidation. And so both experienced guard position, but he also helps at the two guard where he can play off ball and provide some shooting, scoring in there. It's probably Saiyuji had a hit list in the buyout market, and it shows where Toronto has come, that Jeremy Lin had Toronto at the top of his list as well to make this happen.
We are joined with Vivek Jacob of Sportsnet here on Sportsnet 650. John Jang and Bick Nizard is the Playbook. Exciting time for the Raptors, obviously, because they're making these trades. They're, you know, loading up for and showing their commitment to Kawhi Leonard. And when you go out and make a trade like Jeremy Lin and John, as you were saying, it's that marketing aspect, it's that brand aspect. It creates a buzz around the city for him. And when you start to look at what this can look like moving forward, Vivek, because this roster now kind of rounds out in a way where, okay, we know Kyle's going to play. Kyle, Danny, Kawhi, Pascal, and Ibaka are kind of your starters. What does this mean, and how can a second unit now with Lin carry it? Because he kind of strikes me as like an irrational confidence guy. I know that's a phrase that's been tossed around for a long time. It's nice to kind of have that component when you head into a playoff series. Vivek, are you there?
Yep.
All right. So as I was saying, like Jeremy Lin, as you're saying, like that confidence, a guy who's not afraid of the moment. It's kind of nice to having that irrational confidence guy who can kind of win you, whether it be a game or carry you into a series. Like we've seen the guys like that in years past, really turn series around. It's nice to have this guy on your second unit to kind of be that lightning in a bottle kind of guy.
Yeah, and you saw a bit of it in his first game for the Raptors. Wasn't intimidated by the moment, came in, tried to get guys involved, and that's what you look for. Get comfortable. Now, as time goes on, we'll have to see how he fits in, but I think this is the perfect fit. I think it's the perfect situation for him to get going.
Vivek, when we also then focus down south, what happened this morning in New Orleans and the Pelicans inexplicably walking, at least parting ways with Dell Demps. They're trying to be all very politically correct about it, but let's be honest, they fired the guy. It clearly comes down to the Anthony Davis situation. Is it fair that he even had to lose his job this morning because of what Anthony Davis and the Lakers and Magic Johnson were pressuring him into doing? I gained respect for Dell Demps for trusting his gut and his gumption and standing tall in the face where essentially he was trying to play poker, but he was handicapped because everyone knew the kind of hand that he was dealing with.
Yeah, I think when you look at that situation, I think it boils down to just having ownership that doesn't really know what they want. You see, even after the firing, they're saying that they're adamant about keeping Anthony Davis because he does have an additional year on his deal. And so you look at the situation, they were mainly mad about Anthony Davis leaving the game so early with an injury that maybe necessarily wasn't an injury. He just maybe didn't want to play. And so this is a bad situation. It's bad optically. And I think they've just sort of made Dell Demps just sort of a sitting duck and looked at him to take the blame on this situation. So I think it boils down to bad ownership. I think you look at the Pelicans situation, you know, they haven't really been able to build around Anthony Davis. Before that, you look at that, they couldn't really build a winner around Chris Paul. So I think it all boils down to what's coming down from the top, and this is just sort of a way for them to try and save face.
Yeah, no, it's very interesting to juxtapose that situation with what had happened in Toronto, with Masai Ujiri obviously having a lot of trust from the ownership group, having a lot of trust with his players. He found the right head coach for this team as they look to go on an extended playoff run. Ultimately, how do you think this team is going to fare in the Eastern Conference when it gets to the postseason? That's how we judge teams based on. We know the Raptors have gone all in this season. They make the trade for Gasol, too. They sign Jeremy Lin. What do you think is the minimum level of acceptance for Raptors fans now this season? If they get bounced in the first round, obviously everyone looks at that as a disaster on all fronts, don't we?
Of course, yeah, absolutely. That when you look at the teams that they could potentially match up with in the first round, I think that would certainly be a disaster. But I think when you look at the moves that the Raptors made with getting Gasol and getting Jeremy Lin, I think they are looking ahead to the conference semis, the conference finals, and perhaps even the NBA finals, where you're in a situation where you've got, you know, say you play the Milwaukee Bucks and Brook Lopez has shown that he can be a problem for the Raptors. And so you get a guy like Marc Gasol who addresses that. You look at the Raptors over the course of that season series, they lost the season series 3-1. And the one game they won was where Serge Ibaka shot 4-for-11 from three. And you kind of need to balance out that match against the Bucks because that's the way they play. But Ibaka on the season, he's shooting just 26% from three. And now you get a guy like Gasol who can pick and pop. You get a guy like him who's big enough and strong enough to bully Brook Lopez a little bit. So I think they are looking ahead to those matchups in the conference semis, in the conference finals, to get to the NBA finals the first time. And I think, you know, this is the benefit of creating a roster that's really top heavy now. That's something that the Raptors haven't had the last few years, and so maybe they had to juggle a bit more of, you know, hey, can we win this first round? And so that concern is gone now, and so you're really looking at those next rounds and how you can advance.
Vivek, well, what's the more entertaining side to you of the floor when this team is going to be in a playoff series? Because I'm looking at what a closing five or just your best defensive unit. I'm actually excited to see Gasol at the five, Pascal, Kawhi, Danny Green, and Lowry on the defensive end of the floor when Gasol's the anchor and the other four guys are just flying all over the place.
Absolutely, and that's something they can afford to do now because you look right off the bat, even though Gasol hasn't had a chance to really get comfortable with this team, you can see him barking out instructions. You can see him yelling at guys, letting them know what's happening out on the floor. And that's what you want from your five men, to essentially be the quarterback and let everyone know what's happening around them, you know, with screens, with coming off from the weak side and things of that nature. So I think that will give guys like Kawhi, Siakam, who are so good at getting in passing lanes and creating turnovers, that much more leeway to be the best that they can be. And so I think you're absolutely spot on. They can be a real threat defensively, and especially in the postseason, when you look at how much the game slows down, how much half-court offense you need, if you can get as many easy baskets as possible, that's just going to make the game that much easier for them.
Pascal Siakam blowing up earlier this week with a 40-point effort. His season has been so fun to watch here as he takes a huge step in his personal development. Do you see this as just being the beginning of a great era for him in sense of where he is now as an NBA player? Or is it just a player who had one hot night but still needs to put things together before we can say confidently that this is the kind of things that we can expect from Pascal Siakam more so down the future?
I think this is the beginning of the rise of Pascal Siakam. I think he's going to be a phenomenal player in this league. We're already talking about him being an all-star snub this year. And you think about when the Anthony Davis rumors were going around at him being a centerpiece. This is a guy that was sent down to the G League in his rookie season. I think the thing that's exciting about him is he places absolutely no ceiling on himself. He's just going in with a mindset of trying to get better every single day. And the organization, the Raptors as an organization, have been so good with developing their players that he's taking full advantage of that. You look at his three-point shot, the way it's coming along from last season into even from this season. He started out shooting about, he was in the 20s and he's worked his way up steadily. And I think the big development for me is you look at the great scorers in this league, when their jump shot's not falling, they're able to get to the line, get themselves some easy baskets. And so far this month in February, he's been getting to the line 7 times a game. And I think that's a huge development in terms of his productivity on the offensive end.
Vivek, Jacob, always appreciate the thoughts. We always like talking some hoops here on the playbook, so appreciate having you on, my good sir. And hey, San Antonio Spurs coming to Toronto next week. Any special storylines, of course, that you're looking forward to specifically? And there's a few obvious ones to point out, but when it comes to you observing that game, what are you watching for?
Oh, what am I watching for? I'm sorry, but I'm just going to have to go with the obvious one, DeMar DeRozan.
Yeah, that's
right. I mean, everyone... I think can appreciate that you look at this Raptors team right now, it's impossible to get to that point without the work that he put in. Coming in as a 9th overall pick, he was just a raw athlete, couldn't really shoot, couldn't really dribble. He built himself up to be an all-star. He helped this franchise get to the point where they were perennially in the playoffs, winning 50 games over and over and over. And when you get up to that, when you're creeping in on the cream of the crop, that's how you're able to bring in elite players. Unfortunately, he was a victim of his own success, and he had to go, but I don't think there's any denying how big a role he has in bringing Toronto to this point. It's almost like baseball, where if the Raptors do win a championship, you almost have to send him a ring.
That's a good way to put it.
Yeah, and, you know, I don't know if he'd be too happy about getting one, but I think it would be a nice gesture. Sportsnet 650.